When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Adjacent. You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
Yeah, you don't look like someone that woke up at 6 a.m. Like when I wake up at 6 a.m. Tone's on the screen now and he does. Tone looks like someone that woke up at 6 a.m. You probably did, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did. Not.
Yes. When I wake up at 6 a.m. or 4 a.m., 5 a.m., like if I have to get up really early for a flight, and this happens a lot of times day after a road game, which sometimes those go late. You get back to the hotel. If it's like a Thursday night game or a Monday night game, you get back to the hotel like 2 a.m. and you got to be up at maybe 4 or 5 to catch the first flight back. It shows. Like I always look like I got up at 6 a.m. And I'm much older and more, you know, weathered in the face than you. But you don't look like someone that woke up at 6 a.m. today. You look very fresh-faced. Like Tony would say, you're shining.
Shining like the lights.
Try to keep this up. Keep seeing, I'm getting so many targeted ads for Botox, so.
Really? Wow.
Tony, don't you hate and love targeted ads?
Yeah, I do most of my shopping based on targeted ads. It's like, it feels like it's like a nice little service, but then also sometimes I'm just offended.
Oh, but mostly you like it. You like the algorithm thinking for you.
I'm not sure if mostly. I fall victim to targeted ads a lot, and it's worked out surprisingly well for me so far. But then that means they probably just have all of the information about me. So when robots take over, I'm screwed.
I think the targeted ads are actually counterproductive in my case because they seem to be mostly for things that my kids must have been looking at when they had my phone, which just further annoys me and makes me less likely to buy whatever that thing is for them. What are all these? I don't want this, you know, Taylor Swift homemade tank top from Etsy. Get this off my phone. Like that. Now there's, we've gone from like 5% chance that I might have bought that thing for them down to 1.
You could have worn that to the Super Bowl.
I could have.
It's a cheat code for Christmas, though, for you, Jason.
What did you just know what to buy? Yeah. You just wait, man. Spoken like a man whose daughter hasn't started asking for money yet. What was it like for
did
you?
Did you do this yet?
What was it like for you, Maddie Lee, asking your parents for money as a kid? How did that go?
It didn't happen. We got allowance,
okay.
But it was very, like, that was all we were going to get. Get allowance, so if you, and we're paying for your sports, and you're welcome.
Were you getting fair wages in allowance or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember what they were. My parents got very into like, we're going to turn this into a learning moment. So I had like buckets for like my savings and my checking, like literal buckets.
Okay. We do that with our kids, but with envelopes. Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that I had buckets seems like, I mean, they weren't large buckets, but that's pretty good for a kid. Mm-hmm. Like if I could fill this, you know, small bucket up with cash.
But that was it for the money. So if you had friends that were like, hey, Maddie Lee, come out with us, because they would always refer to you by your first name and last name, of course.
Of course.
Would you come out with us? We're going to go see Toy Story 3 or something like that. If you didn't have the money from your allowance, like if you had just blown it on some Beanie Babies or whatever you were into back in the day, would you ask your parents for the $20 or no?
I think that this sounds extremely nerdy. I think I just was pretty stingy about saving my money.
Okay. What about you, Tone?
I don't think I ever really thought about it until like I needed it in the moment. With the money, like if I saw something instantly that I know that I could attain, then I start thinking about, oh wait, I can't just grab this. I need money to get this. Who has money? My parents have money. I should ask them for money. But I never really like was just kind of just hanging around and just kind of thought, I'm like, I need some money. Like that wasn't me. I had to see what I wanted to get right then, and then I thought about money.
My two daughters are, one of them is almost 13. Maddie, you know these kids. You've met these kids. Tony, you know them very well. But Grace is turning 13 soon, and Anna is 10. So they're getting into this world where they're kind of aware of stuff that they think is cool or that their friends think is cool. And they're like, oh, I want that. And we've all been there. You don't realize how stupid that is until now, until you're 40. And then you're like, oh, that's really dumb. Like, why does somebody want to pay $45 for a drink thermos, a Stanley drink thermos, just because everyone else has one? Like, that's so dumb. But then they want to do it. And like, my 10-year-old always has money. Anna always has money. And I've heard her before, and Grace never does. Because Grace, that stuff just flies right through. That's like, it's like Chipotle. It's like in and out. Just, it's gone as soon as it gets in. And I've seen Anna, I've seen my 10-year-old loan sharking my 12-year-old before. She's been like, I'll loan you $3 for this, but I want you to pay it back $5 by next week. And Grace is like, okay, I'll do it. Grace is so desperate for whatever that, you know, to buy some Skittles at whatever event she's going to, that she'll do it.
Hey, you should get ahead of that.
I can definitely relate to the loan. I pulled a scheme with my poor little sister who's 5 years younger than me. So when we're pretty little, do you remember the like gold $1 coins?
Yeah, the Susan B. Anthony's, or was it Sacagawea?
The Sacagawea ones.
Okay, yeah.
I convinced her that they were worth a lot more than they were. So we did a lot of trades with those.
Ah, yes. Older sibling. Good job.
Maybe that's why I always had money for movies.
But that's your right. A, that's your right. You're the older one. Like, that is one of the perks of being the older one. But B, like, better that she learns that lesson in the house than out on the streets, you know?
You're right. I toughened her up.
You're helping her. Yeah, you're helping her. My older daughter, Grace, now, Grace Tony, has now started trying to think of ways to make money because she's like, oh, so-and-so has this thing that I like. So-and-so friend wears this sweater that I like. I'd like that too. Oh, I only have 74 cents because I spend it on candy as soon as I get it. So Grace has now started trying to think of ways to make money. She made this flyer that she wants to distribute throughout our neighborhood and like the adjacent neighborhood that she will come clean up your yard, which if you're listening to this and you live in like a warm weather place, maybe you don't deal with this as much, but in the Midwest, this time of year, when you start to get just into the start of spring, which we're getting close, there's so much cleanup, that just general cleanup. It's not like raking leaves. It's not like mowing and stuff like that. It's like picking up sticks. There's just all sticks all over your yard that got to be cleaned up before you can do everything else. And this is one of the main things I try to get my kids to do, because they've always been too young to mow the lawn, and I do that anyway, whatever. But you guys could go out there and just pick up sticks, like for 20 minutes, just clear the yard out, all these sticks. And it's helping you, because you're the ones that run around out there barefoot, and now you won't be stepping on sticks. Like, especially if I run over them with the lawnmower, they're going to be sharp. Like, you're helping yourselves. I shouldn't even have to pay you for this. But Grace is making flyers. They give me so much trouble about this. They're every time I ask them to go do stick pickup, they're like, what are you, high, Dad? Like, this is crazy. Making us go pick up sticks. And now she's making flyers to go do it for the whole rest of the neighborhood. for $15. $15, she will come clean up your entire yard full of sticks, which is about like $14.50 more than what I would pay him to do that same job.
Depends on the size of your yard. Could be a good deal.
It depends on how many sticks, I guess. Yeah, I told her if you really want to make the money, the other thing that happens in the cold weather states is when everything thaws out, people need something else cleaned up out of their yard.
Gross. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you really want to make some money, now I would pay for that. I would pay a neighbor kid to take care of that, so I don't have to do that.
Especially with dogs.
That's like, the only thing I'm talking about.
You should just do what my mom used to do with us whenever we got money. My mom thus then became the bank for us. And she would hold the money and until something that we wanted or we both wanted, coincidentally together, came up. And we would get it. And I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. We're going to McDonald's today. This is great. This is unexpected. This is awesome. Until then, I actually wanted something and went to the bank, said bank, which was my mom, to try to retrieve some of the money. And she was like, you remember last month when we went to McDonald's? And I was like, oh, yeah, that was good. That was a fun time. I remember that. It was very random, and I enjoyed every bit of it. And she was like, well, that's where you spent your money. I was like, there you go. I spent the money. I was like, what are you talking about? I thought this was a parent's treat, you know?
Yeah.
But that was not the case.
Apparently. No, that went on your tab.
The bank used the money that I earned. So, Jason, you can essentially run the scam and say, hey, yeah, I'll pay you to pick up the sticks. But we're the bank. Me and your mom are the bank. We'll hold it for you so you don't have to think about it, right? And then we get to spend it responsibly since we are the bank. We are the institution in your life that controls the money. And there you go. There you have it. And then now you pay yourself, Jason.
Take out overdraft fees.
Yep.
It works.
We've been paying our kids allowance for a long time. We started paying them allowance at a young age, and not because they deserved it at all. Because almost nothing they do is that helpful, even now, honestly. Most, like, I don't think that in a family, and I probably 10-year-old me would have argued differently, but I don't think that if you live in a house, live in a family, that you should get paid for doing things that are for the common good. Like, doing the dishes benefits you, too. You also want to eat off clean dishes, I believe. But okay, we're going to pay you for doing chores around the house because we can't teach you about money if you don't have money. And I would much rather be giving you a little bit of money every week than you constantly asking me to buy you a toy every time we go to Target. Instead, I'll give you money and you decide whatever you want to do with it. And if there's some Lego set that you want that badly, then you save it up, whatever. But we've never given them that much. Like right now, they're 12 and 10, and we give them $6 and $4 a week. And we use it to teach them about spending and saving, like real saving. Like this money goes into your savings account that you're going to have later to buy a car. Mm. And you're going to be like, dang, I'm really glad that past me saved up
all. Not a bucket.
$2 at a time. Not a bucket. No. Although my little one, man, might fill up one of those Home Depot buckets. And we teach them about giving and we teach them all this stuff. But they've gotten to a point where they kind of, even though they don't really get that much money, although Anna's always got tons, they kind of have a sense of like, that's not worth it, Dad. When I'll be like, hey, why don't you go do this and this and you can make an extra 50 cents bonus on your allowance this week. And they're like, that, no, that's, I'm good.
That's careful. They're going to unionize next.
We always have had like with the littler one with Anna, we got to try to find things she can do. And now she's 10. So this isn't as much the case now, but back when she was 5, for example, we got to find stuff you can do. So I gave her this, idea of, if you make my coffee or your mom's coffee in the morning, that's an extra 10 cents. You know, we'll add that onto your allowance. So if you did that every day, that's 20 cents a day. That's an extra $1.40 a week. That's pretty good. And she's now at the point where, like, that's just easy money. I know $1.40 doesn't get you very far, but I'd pick up $1.40 off the ground right now. I wouldn't turn it down. But my 10-year-old would. My 10-year-old's like, I'm not putting a little pot in the Keurig for 10 cents. Nah, do it yourself, old man. Let's start the show. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. I'm Jason Leisure. We got Maddie Lee from the Chicago Sun-Times in as guest co-host. Russ Dorsey, our delinquent, transient, mangy co-host, not here. Russ had a very late scheduling conflict out in L.A. That sounds cool, just saying it like that. Russ had a scheduling conflict out in L.A.
Right. Okay?
Can't be here because of something out in L.A. It just sounds cool when you say that. Maddie is joining us from somewhere in Arizona from Cubs training camp. What town are you in? Do you know?
Mesa. Downtown Mesa. Okay.
All right. I've never been there. Don't know anything about it.
And don't judge my hosting skills off of that. I found out 20 minutes, half an hour ago that I was coming on.
Yes.
Happy to be here. Love spending Valentine's Day with you two. But
see, that's the thing. And we've got the littest producer in the game right here, Tony Gill. So Russ called me and Russ is like, I'm stuck in traffic. And I'm like, of course you are. You're in L.A. That's what they do there. Like Miami is famous for
its... like their second favorite thing to do outside of gang banging.
Yes. Traffic is one of the leisure activities.
All there. Of the highest paid Major League Baseball players.
Yeah, I do.
Well, like Tony's not making enough to even live out there. We already covered this. $2 million a year. Like he's in LA. Like he's got roommates at that salary.
Did you go over what he's getting for sponsorships? Because.
Well, then he might be all right.
Scraping by.
But Russ called and he's like, hey, look, I'm stuck in traffic. I had this meeting that went too long. I had this meeting out in LA. You know, that sounds great. And. Like, I could still do this tonight, but it's going to get later and later and later, and there's no guarantee of when I'm going to get to where I'm to my hotel. Do you think you could find somebody last minute to do it? And I'm like, yeah, of course. Sure, man. Like, this is not your fault. Like, you had meetings run long. You're in traffic. I get it. You can't predict this. And then I start going through my phone, like, who would be available on short notice? And I'm like, oh, man, today is Valentine's Day. Because we're recording this on Wednesday, February 14th. So a lot of people probably have plans. Apparently, the three of us don't. But I landed on Maddie Lee as a possibility. Plans. We'll get there. I landed on Maddie Lee as a possibility, not because Maddie Lee is sad and lonely and whatever, but because Maddie Lee's on work. And this is what happens when you do this kind of work, when you are a sports writer is like, you're gone on holidays and birthdays and whatever. Like the sports calendar does not care whatever is going on in society. It runs on the days that it runs. So sure enough, checked with Maddie Lee. She's available. So we got her. That's a very good backup plan.
call I would have never guessed. Who have nothing, no lives outside of work.
You're our Valentine's Day backup plan. You're our safety net.
Oh, God. No one wants to be the Valentine's Day backup plan.
That's usually the 15th.
Well,
yikes.
I mean, you are. We wanted Russ. I'll just say it.
I'm going to hang
Russ
up.
Russ turned us down. You had nothing to do on Valentine's Day. You're the least, I have a feeling you're the least sad person on this show right now with nothing to do on Valentine's Day. Because the reason I have nothing to do on Valentine's Day is because I've been married for 20 years and we don't really like make a big deal out of Valentine's Day, which is sad in its own way. But Tone had dinner plans tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded, Tone, like I got to say, man, it sounded a little hypocritical unless you had babysitting lined up because... I have heard you just rail on people that bring babies and kids to restaurants. And it sounded like that's exactly what you were about to do on theoretically the most romantic night of the year, sir.
Wow.
I was. But my baby's well behaved, though.
Oh, so, yeah, okay.
They're not going to be climbing on the seats, hitting other patrons in the head with straws and stuff.
Just screaming her head off, wanting to go to bed and not be at a restaurant. That's all she'd be doing. What happened, Tone? What happened, man? You had big. You're like, we got to get out of here early tonight. This is crazy to me too. This guy made dinner reservations for 9 p.m. for him and his wife and his infant daughter.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
What happened, man? What happened?
So It was based on hope that I would pass a COVID test, and I did not pass a COVID test.
Oh,
no.
So,
yeah, Tone's had COVID for like a week plus now.
Yep. Yep.
I would not have even thought to ask if you still had it. I thought you were good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought surely by now he's good.
I thought I was too. Oh. And then we both tested, me and the little one, and we both still have it. So that kind of canceled out our plans. But what we did do in replacement, we had to go out anyway. We had to pick up her birth certificate. So we went out and grabbed that. And I was like, you know what, Steph, what's your favorite food? We could just pick it up. And she likes the Puerto Rican food, Hiburrito. So we ended up picking that up. And on our way back, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make this a little bit more special than just picking up your favorite dinner. So I did a detour. And we live next to the medical district in Chicago on the west side near the United Center. And they built up a little kind of mini mall place of like higher end, nicer places. So we have a Chick-fil-A next to us, and we have an Auntie Anne's next to us. And she loves the lemonade at Chick-fil-A. So I went and grabbed that. And she loves the pretzel dogs and the cinnamon toasted mini pretzel nugget things. So I went and got that for her as well to complete her Valentine's Day dinner. And
that's so sweet.
She barely got to enjoy it because our baby is screaming her head off right now as I, you know, do this podcast. So, you know,
would have been great at the restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, this could be taking place at a restaurant right now. My kid, babe. Oh, yeah. Right. Now, this has been him and Russ. This has been their whole thing. And Tony still thinks this, even though he has a kid now, but it will change. Him and Russ are always like, control your kids. Control your kids. Your kid should never act up. Your kid should never interfere with my being on an airplane or my being at a restaurant or my being anywhere. Control your kids. Control your kids, which is not what is not how it works. It's not possible. It
feels like a very high 24/7 ask.
Like, yeah, if you have good kids, it's not possible. Like, I bet you were a good kid, Maddie Lee. I bet you were very good, very, like, well-behaved kid, but, like, smart and
aside of stealing from her sister, but you know,
but not controllable. So.
Hey, but that didn't affect anyone in the general public. They were fine. It just looked like a, you know, cordial transaction going down.
There was one time when I have two younger brothers. Jake is 3 years younger than me, and Brett is 8 years younger than me. But there was one time I was probably like 7. And Jake was maybe 4, and Jake was in the shower, and he just like exclaimed, like, somebody help. And I go in there and he's like, Jason, what happens if you drop a penny in the shampoo? I'm like, it'll explode. You have like probably about 15 seconds to get out of there. Man, did he shower so fast. Like, you've never seen anybody get out of the shower. He was out of there in 12 seconds. That is the privilege and right of the oldest sibling. And Tone, I'm sure you know, man. I'm sure you were playing pranks on the younger siblings. You got 3 of them.
Who, me?
Yeah, you, Tone, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do.
I mean, did you make a hobby? Did you make a hobby out of playing pranks on your younger brothers and your sister?
My sister, not so much, because that came with some stronger consequences. From what my parents, mean? So not so much Savannah.
That was not allowed. You weren't allowed to mess with your sister.
You get one.
Not really, right? You get one. You know, wow. I haven't done it yet, so I still have that one in my pocket. Like, if I ever wanted to use it.
Wow, so you are really playing good. The long game.
Yeah,
you gonna pull it out like at her wedding or something? Like, jeez.
Oh, that'd be funny.
You're 30 years old. You still got that in your back pocket? Like, I might.
Maybe I'll do it at my funeral.
Oh, I've got to take some prep.
Okay.
I know.
Be very
maybe worth it.
I feel like maybe it would lift it. The mood.
Yes.
It really set a good tone.
Yes. Oh my gosh, this is the worst Valentine's Day ever.
But my brothers, yeah. My brothers, definitely. Yeah. I played a couple pranks on them. You know, like when they were little, like if they were scared of the dark or something, just kind of lock them in the room in the dark, and kind of hold the door so they don't come out like that. That's a classic.
That's not a prank. That's cruel.
That is a prank.
You're like trapping a 3-year-old in the dark.
Yeah. And then when we
got a little older, the door so they can't get out. That's not a prank.
Yeah. When we got a little older, you know, where we can, you know, rough house a little bit, you know, the nice quick, you know, nipple twister, you know, nipple twist and run. You know, that's always a classic one.
Tony, everything that you're describing is like torture techniques that spies use to get answers out of people. Like a prank is when you like loosen the top on the salt. And then when someone goes to use it, they dump salt all over the place. Yeah, not like arming them by the nipples and locking them in the dark.
Yeah, just a little, you know, little twist and run.
I think something happened.
Very wrong idea of what pranks are.
I feel like when you have that many siblings, like a screw comes loose for the whole group. Like my parents both had three, still do, each have three younger brothers. And their pranks were like, oh yeah, we rolled one of them up in a rug and stuck it in the closet and closed the closet so that no, like even if someone opened the closet, they wouldn't realize that he was there. Or like, yeah, we convinced him that he could fly if he jumped off the back of this couch and then he fell into the coffee table and had to get stitches.
Yeah, or we hit him with a sock full of nickels. You know, whatever. Just kid stuff, little pranks.
Just fun bonding activities.
Tony Gill and his misguided pranks are brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. You can go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA. Use our link for our listeners and you'll get a discount on the best sheets you've ever had. Incredible sheets, silky smooth, 100% eucalyptus. They got other stuff on there too. If you're more, you know, a person that likes to sleep a little cozier, they've got the flannel, the cotton eucalyptus flannel hybrids. They've got the duvets, the comforters, duvet covers. They got the mattress. They got pillows. They got everything you need for your bed. Like if you want an A+ bed so you get a great night of sleep and you feel great, and even if you wake up at 6 a.m., you look as like fresh and energetic as Maddie Lee looks right now, like Sheets and Giggles is the place to go. Go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA. Sports Jason is also brought to you by BetMGM. You can go to betmgm.com or download the BetMGM app. And you get this offer with our promo code adjacent1000. Your first bet with BetMGM gets paid back in free future betting credits up to $1,500 if you don't win. You can bet on a lot of things over there. And I was about to say you can bet on the Super Bowl. And then I remembered the Super Bowl already happened. But you could bet on next year's Super Bowl already. I think the 49ers I saw were the favorite last I looked. Maybe that's changed since. Maybe it's the Chiefs now again. But like, you can already bet on next year's Super Bowl. Did either of you guys place any bets on the Super Bowl?
I'm so bad at betting. It's kind of.
I'm so afraid. I generally don't because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to lose. But I was like, man, there's no way the Chiefs lose this game. Got to bet the Chiefs in this game.
And then were you stressed out the entire time?
No, I didn't worry about it.
Yeah, even though they were going against the better overall team, like almost at every position.
You know what I wanted to bet on? This is the craziest thing. I got emailed this list of Taylor Swift prop bets. And of all the things to be, have an interest in betting. Like, I was reading this list to my kids because my kids are big Taylor Swift fans. They're Swifties. They're very into it. And it's like, what color lipstick will she wear to the game? What color top will she be wearing when she gets off the plane? And what color top will she be wearing at the game? All this kind of stuff. What kind of jewelry is she wearing? But the one that stood out to me was you could bet on what she was going to wear on her bottom half. Like, is she going to wear shorts, a skirt, whatever? And I thought, and by far the leader, the odds on favorite was shorts. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, because I was reading this the week before I was going out to Vegas to cover the Super Bowl. I'm like, it's going to be cold in Vegas all week. I was in Vegas for a week plus, and it never hit 60 degrees the whole time. And the stadium is air conditioned. It's indoor air conditioned stadium. I'm like, there is no way anybody's wearing shorts to this game. It's not going to be comfortable. And they had on the list of odds, they had pants was 4-1. And I'm like, if I was going to bet on this, which I didn't, I would bet on pants, because any sensible person would wear pants when it's cold outside and it's going to be chilly in the stadium because of the air conditioning. And sure enough, she wore pants. I would have won if I'd have been on that. I would have got 4-1 odds on that, I think.
Yeah. Are you cooler now as a dad who covers football, now that your kids have a connection through Taylor Swift?
Only for that. Yeah, only for that. When I went out there, you know, when you cover the Super Bowl for a local market like Chicago or Dallas or wherever, and your team's not in it that you cover, you're mostly looking for angles that are relevant to your audience. So ways of covering the Chiefs and the 49ers, or, you know, the Rams and the Bengals, or the Lions and the Ravens, or whoever it is, that are relevant and kind of applicable to your audience. So maybe there's guys that you can be on the Bears, or there's local guys in the Super Bowl, or, you know, there's some lesson learned from one of these teams for the Bears. But the one thing that I had to write while I was out there that had nothing to do with any of that was about this Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing, because it was just so dominant. They're like, we need a column on that at some point during the week. And Maddie, that is the only thing I've ever written that my kids found interesting. That is the only time they thought this was a cool job.
Ever. Hey, you got one.
That's it. Yeah. Now I'm just back to being the guy that drives them around places. Yeah. Are you a Swiftie?
No.
No? You're the only one.
It's a bit of a point of contention on the Cubs beat, because the Tribune writer loves Taylor Swift. Okay. And we have a really good thing going in general. And I'm pretty sure her finding out that I'm not a Taylor Swift fan really hurt her opinion of me. So we're working through it. But I kind of had the opposite progression compared to the rest of the world. My sister, massive Taylor Swift fan. Her first tattoo was Taylor Swift lyrics.
Oh, that's a bad idea. No.
Will listen.
Oh, no. How old was she?
Probably 18.
I'm sorry to judge your sister, who I don't know. But
yeah,
that,
come on, man.
There's just no way you could explain that to me that sounds like a good call.
Well, they're at least like a little, they're a little more undercover. It looks good. You'll have to, it's like on her back. It looks good. I have to trust her on that. It's like not like,
I love that you defend your sister, even in the face of this clearly, she's like inarguably bad decision.
She's the best. But we definitely have different tastes in music. So I would like sometimes listen to Taylor Swift for her so that we be able to talk about the new album. But everyone talks about how great her songwriting. I shouldn't be saying this. Now everyone's going to attack me on Twitter. But wasn't that it?
Yeah. You can go ahead.
This audience is safe.
No.
Nowhere is safe.
There is no safe place to criticize Taylor Swift. The only way that she could do it is here, Maddie, you can just lean all, you go all out. You let it all out and we'll just put elevator music over it to protect you. Go ahead.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Take a flamethrower to Taylor Swift right now and we'll put elevator music over it. Okay, go.
I'm not sure that I trust you right now, to be completely
honest.
No, we got you.
No, you're a friend of the show. We got you.
Yeah. You also said that you wish that I was Russ, but
that was a long time ago. That was like 20 minutes ago.
All right.
Now it's like, you know, Russ isn't coming. You're here. You're getting better and better and better as it goes.
I'm getting flashbacks. Anyways, not a huge fan, but as soon as, for some reason, football fans who had no idea what she was about, really didn't have a stake in whatever she was doing, decided that she was the worst thing to happen to football ever, like, that started making me like her more. Like, what the, like, she's on TV for 20 seconds. Like, you guys not can even. Calm down.
Not even. It doesn't bother me at all. Like, I don't really get the fascination with it or the problem with it. I've watched some of these games in the playoffs. And on, like, I think when they played Green Bay or somebody, there's been a handful of Chiefs games I've been able to watch on TV. And yeah, they cut to her like every play. But it's not ruining anything for me. I mean, it's not like they miss
crowd shots of the game. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like they're missing part of the game for this. Like, I don't care. Show her after every time that Travis Kelce runs a route. Like, I really don't care. It doesn't affect anything for me.
No, it's going to be dead time anyways. You just have a specific person. Honestly, probably not even as much as like Eminem is shown.
I think the combination of Taylor and Brittany Mahomes, I think has annoyed people because it just looks I don't know.
Although I feel like Brittany's almost gotten less flack because she was another easy target for a long time. Yeah. I feel like she's almost gotten less flack now that it's all going towards Taylor.
Taylor, yeah. Yeah, I mean, she gets to live out her dream, right? She said that in that song that some girl was cheer captain and she was in the bleachers and now she gets to be with the famous athlete, right? It wasn't that her first hit?
Well, I'm pretty sure he was like a high school football player in that song.
But the stakes are raised now. This is a professional. This is one of the greatest tight ends of all time.
She also said that she wears t-shirts, which was not true in that prop bet. So tough.
I do think if you were able to suspend your pessimism, your cynicism, and say, okay, this is a real relationship. Because I keep thinking this is one massive media entity and another massive media entity like merging in to make the biggest media entity ever. Yeah, but if we just like, let's set that aside for a second. Let's say they're in love. This is real. They're having a great time. I would theorize that there is some element of this is a person that didn't get to have a childhood probably in Taylor Swift because she was famous so young.
Very young.
And now it's like, if you think back to like, if you think of like a like middle school or high school girl, like wanting to date the captain of the football team, this is that times like 1,000. This is like the ultimate, like you're dating like the star of the Super Bowl champions. And they're showing you reacting and clutching your hands with your friends, like on national TV every 5 seconds in front of the biggest TV audience there's ever been last Sunday.
But let's be real.
No, go ahead, man.
The real winners are the NFL.
Yes.
By far.
Yeah, she was already on this like $1.8 billion tour. Yeah.
Yeah, she is doing wonderfully. Like, this is a nice little like side quest. Like, the NFL gets new fans. They get, massive superstar that they can kind of hitch their wagon to. Yes, NFL is massive, of course, but like what a wonderful marketing opportunity for them.
I mean, she is getting shown like every 2 minutes on the biggest national international broadcast in the history of the world on Sunday. There is some benefit to it for her. But I will say, Maddie, to your point,
to her concert before, in Japan.
Before all this started in September. I think this kind of became like a public thing in September of last year. Before that, she was up there at the time for like most famous person in the world. She'd be up there with any athlete, any musician, any movie star, any political leader. She would have been up there as one of the absolute most famous people in the world at the time before all this. So you're right.
I would argue that from a personal life standpoint, this is probably more annoying than anything for her. Because, like, you're going to get hate no matter what. Now she's got a ton of people just piling on her whenever, every Sunday. Like, that sucks. I don't think that adding more fame actually helps when you're that big of a superstar.
Yeah, and it seems like it's a real relationship. Like, I saw a clip recently. They were celebrating or whatever, and Travis was smoking. I don't know what he was smoking. I don't know if it was hookah or not. It could have been a dupe. I don't know. But it was salacious enough for her to ask for some, and he says, no, somebody's recording you. So that lets me know he probably cares about her, that he's looking out for her overall, not just safety, but just how she's perceived, understanding who he's with, and saying, trying to protect that as well. And that's what a man should do for his lady. It protects him, goes past physical, right? It goes to emotional and mental and all those other mm-hmm. things, and he seems to be doing that.
And protecting that money.
That could be true as well.
What's the like swiftiness level in your house, Tone?
In my immediate house or in my
family? You and your wife. No, you and your wife.
And your baby.
You know.
Yeah.
You can take her. I think she's talented and she writes great songs that connects with, you know, large audience. Like when large masses of people are literally screaming and crying because what you wrote speaks to their daily lives, like, you got talent. You struck a nerve.
Like Cisco.
With people, so like Cisco. So yeah, I get it. I understand it. I mean, she's not for me, you know. Honestly, like, if I don't know if I recognize Taylor Swift if it was just Taylor Swift. I feel like, you know, it's Taylor Swift by the massive amounts of people that will be around her, and then you'll be like, oh, that's Taylor Swift. But it was just Taylor Swift, like, just like out in public, I don't think nobody would.
Well, like, if she was,
I wouldn't notice.
If she was in line in front of you at Starbucks and nobody else was reacting,
correct,
you wouldn't realize who it was. You'd be like, I just hope this lady orders her triple almond milk latte quick enough so that I can get mine in.
Exactly. Yeah. But it goes to her knowing and understanding what the American girl wants and what their life is about, and able to enact that in her art. Like, that is a skill that not a lot of people have, to connect with people. And she does that very, 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 very extremely well. So, yeah.
My favorite part of the Super Bowl was probably the halftime show, which I thought made a huge resurgence from last year. This is another area where you have to be careful, because you don't want, I think it's the Navy coming after you, or who is it? What's the Rihanna group?
I think it's the Navy.
Yeah. So I thought, I thought last year. Yeah. I thought that'd be better. That'd be less trouble. this Twitter Navy will end you faster. No disrespect to the Navy. That's a joke.
Yeah, I'm really glad I came on this week. This is going to be great for all.
Thank you, the Navy. I thought last year, and I think we kind of had a consensus on this on our show. I thought last year with Rihanna, I was so looking forward to it. I love the Super Bowl halftime shows because they're almost always great, no matter who it is. Like, I think back to the Katy Perry one where she's riding around on that tiger or lion or something, and I thought that was awesome.
Power Rangers Resort.
I thought that was a great halftime show, and I'm not a fan of any of her music at all, but I thought it was a great show. And so I was very excited. I was very excited last year about Rihanna, and then it was like probably the worst halftime show I've ever seen. I did not like that one at all. I don't know that, like,
you're showing how babies were made in front of kids.
Yeah, I don't know that, like, the metaphor of artistic interpretation of childbirth really fits for the Super Bowl halftime show. Like, we just want to see a lot of flames and lasers and Lil Jon come out there. Like, just do that, probably. Yeah. And she did such, like, a half effort on even lip syncing it. There were so many times where she was holding the mic down by her hip and somehow still singing. She wasn't even trying to sell that. So I was really looking forward to like cleansing that, getting that out and getting a new, like most recent halftime show in my brain. And I thought it was great. The Usher did a great job. I thought I knew he was going to do a good job. I knew this was the right pick for something like this. And I was just waiting all week or maybe even all month or maybe even all season for Lil Jon to be on there too. And I cannot tell you how much the people in my house hate me walking around doing Lil Jon little like outbursts here and there. It's only three words.
No.
It's only yeah, okay, or what? I mean, those are the only three options you have on the soundboard if you're walking around doing Lil Jon.
Do the voice.
Prove what? Okay. I don't do it. I don't think it's good.
Oh, that one was rough.
Yeah.
Started out fine. That. Ooh.
Yeah.
Sorry, Alicia Keys there.
Yeah, we should talk about that too. We should talk about that too, because that got super interesting. I think Lawrence Holmes texted or tweeted right away. You know, who's her husband? Swiss Beats.
Swiss Beats, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know if he liked that halftime show very much. And I'm thinking that probably didn't.
Did you see his post, though, on Instagram?
Oh, no, I haven't. No, update me, please.
Granted, to cover, I think I only saw a screenshot, so I haven't, like, double-checked this. There's a lot of fakes out there.
What was the gist of it?
But it was, like, it was really sweet. It was, like, you guys are focusing on the wrong thing. Did you see that dress? Did you see that performance? I'm like, that's a really lovely thing.
I mean, he can't really say too much considering how their relationship started. So, you know, nobody in their family should be talking about infidelity. So just
but didn't saying. You see, like, do I have this wrong? Didn't Usher get married like that night?
Yeah.
So he was still playing the Super Bowl halftime show, and then that night he got married?
Yeah, legally he was still a single man. So, you know,
I'm thinking
that's his bag.
His girlfriend was like, I'm thinking that was the last. She was like, we're locking this down right now. After she saw that,
I mean, that's what he's known for now, right? Like making the moves on other guys, gals. That's his bag. I mean, for some reason, that's what he want. You saw the he put out a notice before the performance started. Right, like before on screen, it was like, "Hey, you know, this is what I do. Like, watch your girl. I take them. So be prepared.
This show is rated U. This show may cause adulterousness. Adultery.
Right. I'm like, I don't know why you want to be the face of adultery, but you know, go. Well, I'm not gonna say go with God because he doesn't condone that. Go with whatever entity.
Famously, it's not that. About adultery.
Yeah. So I don't know why he wants to be the face of that, but okay. Do you?
Not reportedly, Lil Jon actually said this, that they wanted Justin Bieber in the show. Do you wish that they had gotten Justin Bieber into that show, Maddie? No. He declined. No, you were happy with that. Okay.
No offense to Justin Bieber, but
Usher's like his mentor.
Not need him.
Usher's like his guy.
Yeah, it didn't feel like I was missing him. That was good.
Well, no, for two reasons, for Usher and Justin Bieber. One, Justin Bieber is too big to partner up, really, with somebody. Justin Bieber could do
his
own.
That's not true at the Super Bowl halftime show, though, Tone. I know what you're saying, but at the Super Bowl halftime show, like, I mean, I've seen Snoop on there. I've seen Dr. Dre on there.
He's got enough hits to do it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I liked it. It wasn't like, oh, man, what? But what? it was fine. It was Usher did this. I put it, Usher did the Super Bowl.
It was very nostalgic for me. It was like definitely catered towards our generation.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool. You know, when, you know, they had a little issue with the audio a little bit to start, but they fixed it and got it right. Obviously the Alicia Keys start wasn't great.
But then my boo was fantastic.
You know, when people, when Ludacris came out, people got the people going. So yeah, it was solid. It wasn't terrible, and it wasn't the greatest halftime performance, but it was really, really solid. I think it's what the NFL is going for every year. Just be solid.
Well, I'll take it after last year with Rihanna, but I don't know.
I did have an issue with them going with Rihanna. I gotta say,
You mean last year at the time you objected to it?
Yeah, she doesn't do music anymore. She's not a musician anymore. She's a businesswoman. She does other things. Like, I want somebody that is a current musician that is still in love with the art, that wants to do it. And it just felt like this was kind of like, you can add this to, you know, something that you did, Rihanna. She was like, oh, okay, I'll add it to the notch that I did the Super Bowl or whatever. That's what it kind of felt like.
Hasn't she turned them down before? Or
she did. I think she did, yeah, for the Colin Kaepernick thing.
Yeah.
But at this current moment, she's not a musician right now. And I want people that are still in love with the art and want to do the art. And it just kind of felt a little, you know. Meh.
What do you want to see, Tone? Who would you want to see? Who would be like your dream halftime show next year?
Is it in New Orleans?
It is in New Orleans, yes.
Oh, he's got to be Lil Wayne. Come on now.
Well, you know he's going to be part of that, but I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
He's got enough
to do it. At first, when you said the NFL was looking to just be solid, I kind of started to disagree with you. Mm-hmm. But then you kind of centered me on what I really think when you threw out Lil Wayne. I don't think the NFL is going with Lil Wayne as their like centerpiece anchor to the halftime show.
Who's
I think you're good with Lil Wayne.
City?
I know. But I think they're good with Lil Wayne coming on as like a supporting performer, but they're probably not going to sign off on a halftime show that is centered on Lil Wayne.
Taylor Swift.
They're not doing that. I don't think they'll do that. What do you want, though? You want Lil Wayne? That's what you want.
I would like Lil Wayne.
I like that. Honest.
Has it been long enough that they could bring back Beyonce? Because that would be good.
They can't go to Beyonce
every time. I think she's been through, she did it like for...
You don't think it's been 10 years? You don't think it's been 10 years? Wasn't that like the Panthers Broncos Super Bowl? It might have been 10 years ago by now.
But she also did the one, she came on with Bruno, right? Bruno Mars and Coldplay?
I don't remember that. I thought that was the one in San Francisco. I thought that was Panthers Broncos, which feels like it's about 10 years ago by now.
Kanye West.
Oh my god!
Have you noticed? You don't mean that. Have you noticed every now and then you'll hear his songs on the radio again. Like there's some radio stations that are trying to kind of wade back into that water to see if it's cool.
He's an excellent musician,
right? Yes.
Full stop.
But there's a huge but. There's a huge but at the end of that.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My interest and my fandom of Lil Jon led me to, he has a home remodeling show. I don't know if either of you is aware of this. It's on HGTV, I think. But if you stream, you can get that through the HBO Max app. And I think I found this like on Super Bowl Sunday, and I was like, I'm watching this on the flight home. I want to see what this is. And it's called Lil Jon Wants to Do What? And it's him and his business partner. It's actually great. I watched one episode, I should say. The first episode is great. I don't know if it stays this good or not, but I recommend checking out at least the first episode. So he has a business partner, and it's this woman who, from what I gather in the first episode, their dynamic is basically she knows all about this world of home remodeling. So are you into these shows on HGTV, Maddie?
Yes. Love them.
Okay, so they take like an average house or a dumpy house and they make it awesome. Mm-hmm. You love these. Okay, Tone?
Yeah. Nah, it doesn't really pique my interest.
Yeah. Doesn't usually pique my interest that much either. Like the types of shows like this that I'm into are usually more like cooking shows than home remodeling shows, I would say. But I was fascinated by this one. And their dynamic is basically this woman, I forget her name, but this woman that he's a business partner in business with basically knows everything about this world. She knows how to do doorways and ceilings and floors and where to get the furniture and how to get custom furniture made and what about everything costs and how plausible something is to do. And then on the other half of the partnership, you have Lil Jon has all these wild ideas. Lil Jon has just, he's just like a visionary in a good way. He's just like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you had an aquarium full of sharks in the floor of your basement? And she'll be like, well, that's not really possible, but how about if we did this? And he's
she's doing home makeover. He's doing Pimp My Ride.
To your basement. In a way, yes. Yeah. But what he does have, I don't want to sell him short in this partnership because in the episode I watched, he had such a great sense of how something should feel. And you can't quantify that. Like you can't put that on paper, but he has exactly the right idea of what the vibe of this basement that they're remodeling should look like. And their whole idea is that if you go to somebody like me, just a regular person, and I want to remodel my basement, and they're like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, maybe put a wet bar down there and put up some walls and paint it blue or something. And they're like, well, that's not very splashy and creative. Like, what if we come up with like the craziest idea that you're still on board with? And then people come over and see your basement and they're like, whoa, this is awesome. That's kind of the idea. Lil Jon takes you like out of your comfort zone of what you would come up with into something way more creative. And then his business partner helps him pull it off. And he comes through and he's kind of the final voice on like, I don't know, this doesn't feel right. Or yeah, that's perfect. Or yeah, this has exactly the kind of vibe I was going for. Or no, I need you to tear this down and redo it with this. And it drives her crazy. But like you can't have it without both of them. I love this show, and I'm not a home remodeling show, but he is like just on top of all of that, he is just exactly the right level of Lil Jon throughout the show.
You think that gets tiring? Like, knowing what the people want? Like, man, I just want to remodel houses now. I don't want to say what and okay all the time.
Probably.
Like, I have this passion of home remodeling.
I mean, on the other hand, nobody will let, like,
the only, that's how the he only made it, way though. That I could do this is if I say the occasional what or okay. I can't just be Lil Jon remodeling homes. Like, just surprise people with that. Like, well, hey, I'm Lil Jon.
No, but you now can't.
I'm an adult and remodel homes for a living.
You can't just, like, do that and just be like Lil Jon, average Joe contractor, and have a TV show if you just want to be like that.
Well, now, I mean,
if you want the TV show, then people are going to want a little bit of, yeah.
I desperately now want to see the behind the scenes documentary where he walks off after saying that and just looks so dejected and does his little confessional, like, you see the pain.
It's really good. I highly recommend it. Another thing I wanted to ask you guys about is I was on Radio Row quite a bit the past week in Vegas because not that I was doing interviews. Nobody wants to interview me. But, and I don't have a radio show to interview these guys on. But what you do is you kind of hang out on Radio Row, and then DJ Moore from the Chicago Bears comes walking through, or Jordan Love comes walking through, and then you can get a few minutes with them. These guys came through that I don't know how obscure this is. I think this is pretty popular. My dad loves these guys. They're called the Kartnarks. Have you guys ever heard of Kartnarks? I think it's a series of YouTube videos where these guys go around. Their whole deal is you should put your shopping cart in the corral when you're done shopping at, like, Jewel's or Whole Foods or wherever. You shouldn't just leave it there. So they'll, like, hide in parking lots with their camera. And then when you leave your cart just kind of wherever, then they'll run up to you and question you about it and put a magnet on your car that you're, a lazy bones or whatever that doesn't return their carts. And my dad,
Super Bowl?
They were just, it was so weird because I only know of this because my dad loves these guys. And I don't know why. He showed me one of their videos and I was just kind of like, I was kind of entertaining for about 30 seconds. And then I was like, so they just do this over and over? There's like 10 minutes of this? Okay. All right. My dad likes it. And they were just running around the Super Bowl to different tables, not even checking to see who anybody was, and just handing people a sticker. A Kartnarks sticker, and I think it was a sheet of paper explaining, like, what they are, and then running off. And so it was a 1 second interaction. And I thought, oh, I'll give this sticker to my dad. My dad loves these guys. But I thought also, I'm exactly the person that these guys are out to find.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I'm parking a handicap spot.
Oh,
that's a little too far. I don't know how you leapt from what I was saying to that.
What?
I'll park in a handicap spot? Tone, that's not like a YouTube video where they come and get you. The real police will get you for that. Yeah, that's against the law.
They're never around. I got a baby. I got an excuse.
What?
The baby causes me to... I can't move as fast as I want to with a baby. That means I am handicapped from doing normal things. Like, I need to be closer.
Stop.
Because if I have a crying baby... That's like a baby,
golf handicap. We're talking about two different things, Tom.
Absolutely not.
You know, yeah.
So, Maddie, do you need to, for your own reputation and good, do you need to get on record as denouncing what he just said? Go ahead. You can.
Yes. Don't do that.
What are you talking about?
Oh, come on, guys. Don't.
Dude, I would never. I would never do that.
You never parked in a handicapped spot.
Never. I would never do that.
Not safe for me.
That being said,
you guys have never done it.
That being said, there are parking spots at church that are designated for families with infants.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought my wife took too much advantage of that. I thought, what? I don't think these kids are legally, infants anymore. But also on the shopping cart thing, but then this is not a law. Like, you're talking about breaking the law parking in handicap spots, Tone.
Is it though? Just a quick second. You know, hey, I'm just about to pop in. It'll cause me more effort and more work and more trouble for everybody in the parking lot if I try and go around trying to find
no,
a
that isn't spot true at all. That isn't true at all. Right, that is such BS. Is no, this is easier for everyone if I do this. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Easier for you.
Yeah, I mean,
except for the person who needs that spot.
Look, everybody, this will go a lot faster if I just park in the handy. No, Tony. No.
Yeah.
This is bad. Yeah, there's no way your wife approves this. You do this when your wife is around?
Oh, yeah, definitely. What? Come on now.
What?
No.
It's a lifestyle.
Oh, man. I don't even know what to say.
The consistency of your what's is like really variable. Like,
yeah, I never.
Spot
I
know. On. That one yeah. was tough.
I know. Yeah. I'm not claiming to be good at it. I just like doing it. And being bad at it is probably a big part of why everyone in my house hates when I do it.
Which then encourages you to do it more.
Yeah, I'm in that role now. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, the cards? Or are we off that? We got so derailed, we're not going back to the cards.
I don't think we can get back to that after Tony just proclaimed that he's making everyone's lives easier by parking in handicapped spaces.
I don't think I'm saying something that wild. I guarantee if we put out a poll on the sports today, do you park in the handicapped spot? Or have you ever parked in a handicapped spot? It will be 90%+.
What's the longest that you will do this? Because I again, I would not even do it for 15 seconds to run into Starbucks and get my mobile order and come back out. I would not do it. What's the longest that you will park in a handicapped spot to run an errand on?
I don't know, because I'm usually pretty quick if I'm stopping somewhere.
Will you do it at a grocery store?
Yes.
I'm thinking that's an easy yes for you. Yes.
That's a
yeah.
time commitment.
Okay, that's not quick. That's 10 minutes minimum.
Yeah, 10 minutes, like, bada bing, bada boom, pop in, pop out, you're good.
What about the person who actually needs the handicap spot, who's circling the block for 10 minutes?
That's the entire point.
That's the thing. It's like, I never see these. I never see any.
Oh, no.
Because you always like, have their spot.
No, I've been waiting for this spot. No,
like, that's never happened. So I'm like, the odds, the numbers-wise, right, out of all the people in the tri-state area that need this spot, and I have yet to come face-to-face or, and again, I know people need the spot, but in the moments
you
that
don't
I'm
sound
driving,
like you do know that you don't sound like moment, you do know that Maddie Lee, I'm rooting for this guy to get a ticket now. Like, I want him to get a parking ticket for this.
I'm honestly shocked he hasn't, because Chicago gives you tickets for going 2 seconds over your time.
Yeah,
it's too much effort to go into private property and do it.
Okay.
They must be really bored and really have nothing to do if they're searching for.
If they gave me a ticket,
I got to chalk that one up to the game. It's like, I'd rather you do this than shoot an unarmed black person. I'd rather you do this.
I'm sorry, what? What was that last
part? I'd rather you give me a ticket than shoot an unarmed black person. So kudos to you. I will pay this ticket.
That's a pretty easy, yeah. I think we'd all agree with that one.
Well, let me give them something to do so they won't do the bad stuff.
Okay. All right. I don't imagine that you're really thinking about it in that sense of nobility while you're doing it. I think you just want to get into the jewels really quick and get your groceries.
Now he's going to. Yes. The next time he does it, he's going to be like, for the greater good.
I don't want to put it out there that I make it a point to park in the handicap spot every single time I go somewhere. That is not the case.
Well, I do need to get a sense of how egregious this is, because I thought it's a slam dunk that he's going to do this when he's running into Jules for a trip that he thinks takes 30 seconds, but really is like 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. What about if you're going into a fast food restaurant or even like Chipotle? Will you park in the handicapped spot for that?
If it's convenient for me.
Okay. So now we're talking about more like a 25 to 30 minute trip into the store.
Mm-hmm. But I can also see my car, right? Where I'm at and like in line. So.
So you can run out there if you're getting a ticket?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the act of you running out there is going to pretty much
tip some people off.
Clinch the ticket. When you're in a full sprint.
But then I could be like, oh, you needed this spot? Like, I can run out there and move my car.
You're going to act like it was an accident? Or like,
I was
like, oh, my bad.
Also, how are you going to know? Like, how long does a car have to pause for you to be like, I need to run out there? Like, they're not going to be like, all right, let's open the door in case this person is inside looking out just in case I need this.
Oh, and especially if I don't, I'm more likely to do it, especially if I don't have to get out of the car and I'm just like waiting for somebody. Oh, it's definitely getting parked.
All right. What about if you go to the mall?
Oh.
Nah.
You hesitated like the answer was really yes.
I mean, I've done it before.
Ah, right? So yes. So just like, just you can just.
Wait, are you saying, yes. Know what the question, I don't know what the. Have you done it? Is that the question?
Would you,
is that what we're doing?
Yeah. Okay. Or clearly, you rationalize in your own mind parking in the handicap spot, going into the Jewels, the grocery store, or like a Chipotle. So clearly you're fine with it up to a half an hour. But if you're going into the mall, that's over an hour. So I'm trying to figure out how comfortable you are with that, which you just answered pretty clearly.
I mean, I'm less likely, obviously, the longer that I'm going to be in a spot. Like if I'm going over somebody's house in the city and there's only like a handicapped spark space, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to be, I don't know how long I'm going to be in a place. Okay. So, but if it's like a, you know, an errand, you know, picking up some food or picking up somebody or something. Come on, man.
What if you're going to a movie? What if you're going to a movie, Tone?
Now we're talking too long. That's okay. Like two plus.
All right. So we found the line. We found the line, Maddie. It's between the line is right after shopping mall. So like an hour 15, hour and a half, he's comfortable with doing this, but 2 hours is too far. Even Tony says no.
Once we're measuring in multiple hours, once you wouldn't just be like, an hour.
Right. Because now I can't move my car now. Now I'm just stuck. So, you know.
Even if you have no morals, that's a long time to risk getting a ticket.
Gotta forgive me.
Okay. Yes. But the police, like, you know, your local circuit court won't. They're going to say they want their money, Tone. They're not going to be like, we forgive you. We know. You're a good guy, Tony Gill, overall. We like you.
Catch me if you can.
Let's do the news. And Tone, we are starting with good news for you, buddy.
All right.
I hope.
Parking in a handicap spot legal? Let's go. Turn me up.
No. Stop. You shouldn't like be proclaiming this, okay? No, I think I have good news for you, but I'm not sure because it appears as though Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan have split up. And so, I know you've been waiting for this for a long time. Maddie, you probably have no opinion on this because you have other things to do. But Tony has been very bothered by this. And this is really, really exactly what we should be talking about on this show because Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan are the definition of sports adjacent. They're right next to the sports.
Yeah.
But they, according to...
Each of them is adjacent
right
to
next to it. Right adjacent to it. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Larsa is 49 and she is the ex-wife of Scottie Pippen. Marcus is 33 and he is the son of Michael Jordan. That's your main objection. What?
Was that another Pippen Jordan split up breakup?
Yes. Yeah. And that's the main reason you've objected to this, Tone, the age difference. She's 49, he's 33. And then, you know, the Michael and Scottie issue.
I mean, I guess I'm about to put, if I had to explain what my issue with it is, you know, you were around when he was a kid.
That's your main problem. She's 16 years older. So he could have been.
No, it's not the age necessarily. It's that you were part of his dad's at one point's best friend's life.
She could have been his babysitter.
It's like an aunt or a babysitter, or you're in the vicinity of seeing this boy, right, as a boy. Like that's creepy. That's creepy. Mm-hmm. This is I don't understand. I didn't understand it. Didn't get it. Glad it's over.
Well, it might be over. So Page Six and People Magazine reported that they had split up. However, they followed each other again on Instagram on Valentine's Day, today when we're recording this.
Don't do it. Don't do it, young man. Don't do it.
Page Six reports that people close to Larsa have expected them to get back together and that Larsa has been talking about a wedding.
It's quite the turnaround.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real wild, relationship arc.
He should not do that. That is unwise.
Speaking of unwise, Tone, how would you feel about the NBA expanding? Want more teams?
Ooh, a watered down league and
it makes it worse. Yep.
Nah, I am not for that. Look, the Bulls, the main franchise in the league, is having problems getting itself together. And well, it would only be worse.
Fault. That's their own fault.
That's fair. No, that's an excellent point. That's fair.
Not expansion's fault.
But we all can agree that the NBA would be better if the Chicago Bulls were relevant and thriving. And this only makes that more difficult for that to happen.
I'm extremely biased as a Seattleite, but I think.
Well, I knew you would be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to hear your thoughts on this.
I think growing up, Seattle was a basketball city. Mm-hmm. And I went on to cover the Thunder, which
traitor. A lot
of my friend, as soon as I announced the news, I got multiple texts that said, started off all caps traitor, and then but congratulations, happy for you. My dad.
Can you imagine the excitement of the city if this team was in Seattle?
Yeah.
It's like just jabs to the whole city.
Yes. My dad sent me a Kevin Durant Sonics jersey when I took the Thunder job. My mom, separately, they didn't talk about this. My mom.
That's funny, man. That's a nice little move by your dad. I like that.
My mom sent me a set of Sonics mugs that I still have.
That feels passive aggressive.
I ended up with more Sonic stuff after I took the Thunder job than I had previously as a child who grew up as a Sonics fan. But I think Seattle would do wonderfully with a basketball team, even if it's not this version of the Thunder. But the city rallied around that team. I know that there were issues with Key Arena and all of that, but they've got a brand new arena. I think it would be fantastic.
I grew up in the I love 90s NBA. I was born in 1984, so I was just the right age in the 90s for the NBA. And other than when they played the Bulls, I loved the Sonics. The Sonics were an awesome team to watch. There were so many teams back then. I just saw they were retiring Shaq's number in Orlando. Like, that was a really fun team, really cool team to watch, too, unless they were playing the Bulls. But, like, the Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, Sonics, those were fun.
Yeah.
And they changed their logo from that, like, yellow and green to more of the green and maroon and orange a little bit, whatever it was.
Yeah, like the Storm's colors.
Yeah, and it's terrible, but I also loved it. The reason this came up is that Adam Silver said on McAfee that Las Vegas is very much in play for expansion whenever they get to that. And the other cities that are theoretically in play for an extra team, and assuming that they would add an even number of teams, they would probably add Las Vegas and somebody else, according to ESPN, Nashville, Vancouver, Seattle, and Montreal. And Mexico City has been floated out there too, but Adam Silver said he didn't think that would be happening anytime soon. That would be rough for Seattle, I feel like, if anybody else got a team before got a team.
Yeah, it would open up old wounds all over the place. Oh gosh.
Tony, you remember Rachel Dolezal?
I do. Who can forget?
Yeah. Who could
forget? Back in the news?
Well, she was hoping people would forget, but it's hard to do that when you have an OnlyFans. She tried to kind of restart things as a teacher in Tucson, Arizona, under the name, and I don't know if I need to pronounce this right because it's not a real name. It's a name that she made up, but I'm going to try. Nkechi Diallo. How do you think you pronounce this first name? N-K-E-C-H-I. Nkechi?
Nkechi?
Kechi? Anyway, she was working as an after-school instructor in the whatever school district that is in Tucson, Arizona. This is from News 4 in Tucson. And no one put together who she was because she was doing it under this other name. Nobody for the longest time realized this is Rachel Dolezal until they discovered her very, very racy, pun intended, OnlyFans page. And
what kind of content is she putting up though?
The description I read just said that it was, you know, borderline. I didn't go like inspect it for myself, Tom.
Cause that's like shoddy journalism right there.
To be fair, right? I don't know the story, but to be fair, but are they mad just because it's the name, the brand, right? That's kind of been co-opted by the adult community, the adult film community. Is it just the fact that she has one, or what the content base is, what she's putting up is the issue?
I think without having examined it myself, I would say based on the article I read, it was not appropriate for the age of students she was teaching.
She was open. Okay. We got to get Russ on it. We got to get Russ on the case.
I'm so sorry that I'm not Russ.
We'll put our investigative team on that. All right. Finally, Maddie, one of my favorite things is when the Customs and Border Patrol in any country catches animal smugglers, because it's always crazy to me that these people think they're going to get away with it, that they have a prairie dog or gerbil or something taped inside their underwear, or they've got a lizard somewhere on their person and they just think security's not going to catch this. TSA or whatever the other country's equivalent of TSA, whatever they call that department, isn't going to notice this thing like wriggling around under my shirt. But this one was a little bit different. This was not someone trying to smuggle in animals to sell. U.S. Customs and Border Patrol dogs caught somebody at Boston Logan Airport with 4 dead and dehydrated monkeys in their luggage. This was a person coming in from the Democratic Republic of Congo. And this is meant to be food. So this is basically like monkey jerky. Like, I don't know if you eat beef jerky or turkey jerky or things like that, even salmon jerky. But this was meant to be monkey jerky, basically. The traveler said, the dog sniffed this out and found it. The traveler said that he had brought this back with him from the Congo for his own consumption.
How many did you say it was?
4. Yeah, and there's a photo.
Four monkeys?
Yeah, I don't recommend checking out the photo. It was a little upsetting. Oh. Yeah. This is usually referred to as bushmeat. And the reason that it's illegal to bring that into the United States is because a lot of disease, including Ebola, according to the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, can be spread through like kind of unprocessed, untreated meat like this. The man originally declared on his customs declaration that he had dried fish with him, which probably would have been fine. But dried monkeys is not going to work. And I will say, though, in his defense, this appears to be generally, from what I can tell, kind of just from reading the Associated Press story about it, a misunderstanding, because Customs and Border Patrol did not file any charges in this case. They did, however, send off these four dehydrated monkeys to the CDC to be destroyed.
It seems like a weird line to draw. I'm going to be honest.
Well, you can spread. There's a lot of disease that could come through. I mean, that's a concern.
And they didn't find them or nothing?
No. No charges filed. They confiscated the luggage, and I assume they ran tests on all the luggage, and then they destroyed the monkeys that this person brought back.
What's worse, that or parking in a handicap spot?
Handicap spot.
This is going to be your new way to justify everything? Well, that's worse than what I do. Okay. That's the news.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks, Maddie, for sitting through this. Thanks to Sheets and Giggles for sponsoring Tony Gill. I assume that's over as of this episode's release. Tony Gill, to this point, has been brought to you by SheetsGiggles.com/SA. That's the special link for our listeners where you can go and get a discount on the most comfortable, just silkiest, smoothest sheets you will ever sleep on. And I'm telling you, man, if there's one place you want to spend money, your bed makes a lot of sense. Like you,
Maddie, I was gonna say, like, Maddie, we love Sheets and Giggles. They get us, we get them. Their last promo code, hilarious. We will tell you, because we don't want to confuse people, we'll tell you after we're done recording, but it was hilarious.
It was for a Valentine's sale, which has passed by the time people have heard this.
Okay. Yeah,
in my Airbnb, have a whole situation. Would really loved some nice sheets and pillows to.
I have this happen all the time at hotels, and sometimes I don't stay at great hotels. Like last week, I stayed at this hotel in Vegas called the Tropicana, which is the one that they're tearing down to build the A's ballpark, and it's closing down permanently at the beginning of April, and it shows. There is a 100% we're out of here vibe. But I stay at a lot of nice hotels too. And even then I'm like, these sheets are not as good. This pillow is not as good. This mattress is not as good as what I have at home from Sheets and Giggles. So it makes me very happy to get home and sleep in my own bed, fully decked out in Sheets and Giggles. I love everything these guys have. Like, we do ad reads for them. Sure. Okay. They pay us to do that. But I tell people all the time, off mic all the time, my friends, family, I'm like, this is the real thing. You got to get this. The sheet set, if you're only ever going to get one thing from Sheets and Giggles, get the sheet set. 100% eucalyptus fibers. It is the most comfortable bedding I have ever had, ever. It's not even close. Like, you might have thought you were buying nice sheets, and then you'll buy these and see what nice sheets actually are like.
The only thing that I wish they made was like bassinet size or like crib size. Aww.
They make crib sheets, don't they? They make crib sheets.
What?
Yeah, they sell crib sheets. I'm not kidding.
Oh, okay.
100% they do.
Hey, go to Sheets and Giggles.
Check it out.
Go to Sheets and Giggles, whatever you need.
Go to SheetsGiggles.com. Okay, but you could go to Sheets and Giggles. You could do what Tony's saying, just go to Sheets, Giggles, whatever. And sure, great. But if you go to SheetsGiggles.com/SA, the link they made for our listeners, you get an extra discount on it too. Like, it's a great deal on great sheets. Sports Jason is also brought to you by BetMGM. Go to BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app. Use our promo code adjacent1000 and get this offer. Your first bet with BetMGM gets paid back in free future betting credits up to $1,500 if you don't win. That's promo code adjacent1000. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Maddie Lee, you are a fantastic fill-in.
Better than Russ?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think you did
just
better
tonight. Just because I'm present?
I mean, what choice do I have? It's what I have to say. But I also think it. I mean, I think you did better than Russ would have done tonight. Russ might have had to join us from the back of a lift or something. Instead, we got Maddie Lee. We got professional. We got friend of the show. We got somebody that gets us. Like, this was great. This was fantastic.
Take that.
We would have had you on purpose. That's the best compliment I could give you. We would have had you on purpose. Not this week, but a different week, we would have had you on purpose.
I'm honored. Best Valentine's Day ever.
I hope it was. I hope it was. It was for me too. Thanks. We will catch you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.